Morning. Might I say we've had a morning this morning with difficulties. We've had sound problems. We've had all sorts of problems this morning. And I'd like to just thank Julie this morning for leading us. It's been a stressful morning. And it's not easy to be going through that and then having to lead worship. So thanks, Julie, for that. I think we might start in the appropriate way, is to pray to our Heavenly Father. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, what a great God you are. You are the God of creation. All things you have control over. And it's such a wonderful thing if we have a relationship with you that we can come to you any time, even through times of stressful situations. Be with me this morning as I bring your word. May I not be a stumbling block, but work through me, O God. In your holy name, amen. We're going to look at a particular verse, but we're going to read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Well, as I mentioned, I've been praying about that this morning, trying not to be stressed out over things. So God has control over all things. He's aware of all things. So this is an appropriate message to be talking about. So Paul was writing this letter to the church in Philippi while he was under house arrest by the Roman Empire. The church had supported him in his missionary work and may have been worried about his well-being. The church were having some issues that were causing discouragement, which threatened community unity and was robbing the Philippians of joy. In this passage, Paul is offering a solution to their problems. I want to focus on verse 7. So this peace surpasses or exceeds our hearts and minds against anxiety, regardless of our circumstances. It is a gift from God. Rather than a human emotion of manufactured calm, often found in prayer, trust and surrender to Him. This peace is described as a mystery that defies human logic or emotional control. It remains present even when situations seem hopeless. It is described as a protective, divine force that acts as a guard for a person's thoughts and emotions, preventing worry from taking over. This verse in Philippians is an alternative to anxiety, accessed by making requests known to God with thanksgiving. It is not a self-generated, but rather a result of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So how do we experience this peace? Well, by actively bringing our concerns to God rather than worrying. Actively choosing to focus on things that are true, honourable, right and pure. Not easy to do in life, is it? So how do those that do not have a relationship with God find peace? They pursue peace through practices like meditation, gratitude, yoga. They try and create emotional stability or self-reflective practices to find deeper meaning and resilience against external chaos. They say, why don't I actively choose peace in the present moment rather than fixating on future outcomes or past regrets? What about if I train my mind to let go of conflict, acknowledging emotions without being consumed by them, and reducing self-criticism. Why don't I embrace the idea that life is inherent, incomplete? Accepting oneself and releasing the need of control external circumstance. Why don't I engage in activities that foster calm, such as gardening, spending time in nature, or cultivating healthy, supportive relationships? All of these things rely on our own efforts, and my experience is that it doesn't work that well, because we are relying on our own efforts and how that we can control these situations, and most times we can't. It is not an absence of life's challenges, but rather a stable, calm response to them. It is not a distant goal to be achieved, but something to be cultivated daily through intentional action. True lasting peace is found by looking inward, not by seeking happiness or validation from external sources. Several Bible figures experience the peace that transcends understanding. We're just going to look at a few of those. You might remember that Stephen was the first Christian martyr. He faced execution by stoning, but his face looked like the face of an angel, demonstrating supernatural calmness. We read in John chapter 16, 33, Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, modelled this peace throughout his suffering, assuring his disciples of his peace in the face of worldly trouble. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas were beaten and imprisoned in Philippi for casting a spirit of divination out of a slave girl, which angered her owners. I think divination meant that she was like a soothsayer or a tarot card or predicted the future. So obviously her owners were probably relying on her ability for talking about the future. Despite being placed in the inner cell with their feet in stocks, they sang hymns and prayed at midnight. A miraculous earthquake opened the doors of the cells and loosened their chains, leading to the very conversion of not only the jailer, but his whole family as well. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? All trusted completely, refusing to bow down to an idol, even when threatened with a fiery furnace, confident that God was with them. I can't imagine that sort of confidence in a fire, a furnace like that. In Genesis 21, Abraham showed great integrity and confidence in God when negotiating with King Abimelech, demonstrating a secure peace in difficult circumstances. Deborah in the Old Testament, as a leader and judge of Israel, brought stability and peace to Israel for 40 years amidst turbulent times. God was definitely with her. David refused to kill Saul, choosing to trust God's timing despite being hunted by Saul. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah's flight for his very life occurs immediately after a great spiritual victory on Mount Carmel, where he proved that the God of Israel was superior to Baal, the supreme god of the Canaanites. He had the false prophets killed. After hearing the deaths of these prophets, Queen Jezebel sent a message to Elijah, vowing to kill him within 24 hours. We read in Job chapter 1 to verse 21 that despite Job losing his children, wealth and health, declared, "Naked I came from the mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." I want to mention here that Job expressed immense pain, confusion, and anger towards God regarding his suffering, accusing him of being unfair and treating him as an enemy. In Job 38, God, who had obviously been listening to Job, answered him within a terrifying, powerful storm, a whirlwind, which symbolises his divine presence and majesty. Some of the things that God said to Job were, Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. When I said this far you may come and no further, here is where your proud waves halt. Have you ever given order to the morning or shown the dawn its place? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. What is the way to the place of light, and where does darkness reside? So after God had spoken to Job, Job was silenced and humbled by this encounter, admitting his insignificance and that he had spoken of things that he did not understand. How many of us here have been in a situation where we've been angry at God in situations, in circumstances? I mean, I know I have. I've been angry at God a lot of times when I've been going through a particularly stressful period. And I wonder if God had spoken to me in a cloud, in a thunderstorm, and put me in my place, what would I have done? I would hope that I was like Job and realised God is God. I'm a human. I'm a servant. But I know it's easy to get to that point where you are angry at God and you question. And it's not an easy thing to claim this promise, this gift in Philippians about the peace that rises above all our understanding. I'd like to play a short video of Johnny Erickson. You may or may not know Johnny, but yeah, thanks, John. We'll just listen to that one.
I grew up in a very athletic family, tennis, horseback riding. My earliest.
It's an old video. It's been 58 years since she had that accident. And as she said, it's a daily thing, but God's used her in a mighty way. And I just want to encourage everyone here. If you're walking with the Lord, it's a daily thing. Try and claim that promise that He gives us in the Bible of peace that rises above all understanding. I'd like to just finish with Psalm 23. You want to read? We've got that, John? Thanks, mate. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack for nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Great words, isn't it? That's where we're heading if we walk with Jesus. That's the ultimate end of our journey on this earth, is to be with the Lord forever, eternity. Amen.